like, you take your kid to the doctor, and the doctor's like, oh, your kid's got chicken pox, better call his friends. But you're calling to warn them that they might have chicken pox, not to have a party where you where everyone uses the same straws and forks, you know? I don't understand.
Oh, speaking of that, I'm just saying. Have you heard about the non-vaccinating parents who are having these lollipop parties?
I've heard of lollipop
parties.
Where
they have their kids suck on lollipops, and they sell them and mail them out to other families. So that their kids can be infected with it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That is disgusting on so many levels. I mean, why not have your kids just French kiss? It's that equivalent.
Dude,
it's just gross.
That's against the law.
That's how they do it in France.
Yeah,
that's against the law. Get in there, girl.
I had to let that one
sit
there.
You need to get a life.
Let me give you the chicken pox.
No one has chicken pox in France.
All right, I'm your host, Lawrence of America.
Oh, my goodness. That's the worst French impression. That's like the worst impression I do. The French one.
And this is our Diamond episode 75.
Woohoo! Is that a diamond?
Woo!
What's 100? What's 100?
Centennial?
But that's not a thing. A diamond is a thing because that's like what you're supposed
to
give on the
anniversary. Well, nobody
ever
makes it to 100 years of marriage anyway, so what does it matter?
That's true.
Unless you're vampires.
There's 117. I heard on the news today, 117-year-old in Japan. So, in theory,
and immortal werewolves.
There could be a 100th wedding anniversary. If you're married very, very young.
Yes, but
and living in Japan.
Yes, but at the age of 117, I'm pretty sure even if her husband's still alive, she would have gotten rid of him
more invulnerable.
Oh, I don't know about
that.
How long do you hang out with somebody?
Only a handful of people that are over 100.
I think it's up to like 20 now.
They're more
worldwide.
Right.
I think the oldest man that's ever lived was in Japan. He was like 117.
They made
well,
that
the,
commercial
the
of people that were
right
100
now.
And over.
Birthday is today. I saw it on Good Morning America just this morning, and I remember because my kid's birthday is tomorrow.
What?
Oh, well, cool.
Saw it on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still do that happy birthday thing.
I gotta think,
watch Good Morning America.
I got a thing for their weather girl. She's hot. I don't know what it is. Her name's, what's their weather girl? She got a weird
doesn't
name.
Matter
yeah,
name.
It doesn't matter
what her name is, because if your wife listens to this, she's going to be like, you can't watch Good Morning America
no more.
My
lady and I, we're way, way past that, dude. We watched that show the other night with Ryan Phillippe in it, just because Ryan Phillippe was in it, okay?
Amanda would probably be like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like blondes.
Yeah, exactly.
Da, 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 you know, I could see it.
They were testing out stretch pants this morning, so I couldn't turn away. I was like, this is the best episode of Good Morning America ever.
All right. Yeah. It is official that the gift for a 100th anniversary is a 10-carat diamond.
So it's 100 is diamond. What's 75?
It's also diamond, but it's not as large a diamond.
Oh.
All right, so
I think everyone is diamond. They just get gradually
more.
Diamond
to
De Beers,
yes. Diamond. So basically a ring.
She's on DeBeers.com seeing what you get for anniversary.
No, actually, this is
first year anniversary,
by year.
Diamonds.
I'm
second anniversary,
by year, diamonds.
Yeah, but you know what? If we all have to chip in to buy Larry a diamond for the 100th.
For his beard.
For the 100th episode. You know we're
going to get a diamond.
You know we're going to all ditch it and get that diamond at a pawn shop.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We ain't going to.
So 80th is pearl or diamond. 85th is sapphire or diamond.
Or diamond.
Or diamond. 90th is emerald or diamond.
If you tell a woman, I can get you a pearl
or
a diamond, what's she going to say? I want a diamond.
Both. Right,
both.
You know,
both. Hey, yeah. Hey,
you better start shopping.
But you know, if we want to be really cheap, all we really have to do is ask Mark for one of the diamond supply boxes and be like, here's your diamond.
Yeah.
You're divorced.
Cut the diamond out of the box.
Good luck with
that. Speaking of which,
there's one thing.
I read that article you put on there about the diamond.
That diamond article was really good.
That was really good.
I shared
that, Ryan.
For me, yeah. That was
Gomer's. That was great.
That was Gomer's.
That was
fine.
Such a good thing.
All right.
I read it off of his Facebook.
It's okay.
Yeah, no, it's very true.
It was it was griping about Diamond, how Diamond screws over. First of all, it's a monopoly. There is no place else to get the comic books that Diamond sells.
Yeah, me and James were talking about this months ago.
And they screw over comic book shop owners by limiting their what they order, not giving them what they order, giving them stuff that they didn't order in lieu of other product that they have no intention of selling. There's no way they're going to be able to sell it. And then they don't take anything back.
Yeah.
If you don't sell it, they don't take it back.
Me and James
this would be
about
the equivalent of if you had to go buy a pair of shoes or a pair of pants, say you had to buy your wardrobe 3 months in advance.
Yes.
And pay for it, you know,
in advance.
And agree to pay for everything
and you
without
order,
seeing what they actually give
and
you.
And you ordered boots, like a snowsuit, and a hat, and you end up getting flip-flops and shorts.
Now, you still
basically
pay for the boots and the snowsuit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
you can't send
you have to pay for the hat, or the shorts and flip-flops, too.
And you can't send those shorts and flip-flops back.
I think Mark's wanted to chime in.
It was a good article.
You will not hear me defend Diamond very often because it seems like on the 3% they mess up, it's a really important 3%.
Exactly.
But when you consider every comic book in that stack is a different SKU, is a different piece of product.
Yeah.
When you consider the thousands of pieces of product that they ship to not just my store, but every store in the country every week, they really don't do that bad a job.
My problem is that they're a monopoly.
Diamond's failure rate, let's just put this in perspective, you're talking about a huge major company, is 30 times that of the post office.
That's the failure rate?
Yeah.
One of the stereotypical
really worst companies out there.
Entities,
which is actually not.
It's not, no. They do a pretty damn good job.
Yeah.
The mail is relentless.
If they were a server farm...
Make sure you get your beagle.
Me too.
Alright. The average server farm has to have a 99.9999%
That's the average. That's the average.
That is considered the standard industry minimum.
Yes.
And that... it's because they're a monopoly, they don't have to meet those standards.
If they had competition... would do better.
Yeah.
Because if you had somebody else to go to, you would try somebody else out given the current state of your of what you're getting. You know, customer service is basically what it is. You're the customer.
And here's the thing though.
Let me ask you. How many times do you get short at Xenoscope or Image Comics?
Rarely. It's compared to the others, it's
compared
probably
compared to Marvel or DC.
Well, almost every week I'm missing
Marvel or DC.
The Xenoscope, the Grimm's Fairy Tale stuff.
Yeah,
I usually order ones. That book usually has it 3 to 4 covers for every title they do.
Yeah, easily.
In most cases, I order because I've got two customers that want everything.
Yeah,
and then most of those are just our low number books.
I think
so. I order one of each cover.
I think
it's very rare that I get all.
Yeah, I think what Larry is getting at is that Diamond tends to pay a lot more attention to the stores that buy more books.
Well,
and that is because of their monopoly.
Yeah,
they can pay more attention. To the stores that, like, you know, your shops in New York, your big shops who are buying a lot of books. And if you get gypped your Darth Vader number ones variants, they're giving them to a store that they're going to keep happy. Who, if you bitch, they're not going to hear you as loudly as they're going to hear this big retailer. And because they're a monopoly, they can screw you and you can't do anything about it.
And here's the
that's
thing.
My problem with Diamond. That's I don't even know if that's the way it is, but that's definitely the way it seems.
And, well, I agree with you.
If you don't pay Diamond...
Yeah.
You don't get your comics.
Exactly.
All right. Well, look, here's the thing. When me and James were getting into a discussion about this very same thing about maybe a couple of months ago, in September, I think, or October of last year, he was telling me about all this kind of a situation, and he was also telling me that one of the reasons why Mark gets gypped on some of his comics and some of his books that he isn't able to get is because stores like Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, places like that, they get all theirs front of the line, questions asked. Already asked, but they have a massive debt to Diamond that they don't pay, and yet And yet the shops like Mark's that are independently owned, that are kind of smaller shops, that know what they want, know what they order, and they can just flat out write a check then and there. If I were in charge of Diamond, those shops that could just write me a check for everything, I would give them first crack all the time.
But you look at the big companies, they may be able to get your check this time, but it's a better risk. Big one next time.
But it's a risk. It's a risk thing.
It's a bigger risk
investing in a smaller business. When you go to Books A Million when there's 1,000 stores across the nation, it's not as much of a risk.
Yeah, but if they can't pay their bill, what's the point of giving them more books?
If they go bankrupt, you are going to get paid. If Mark goes bankrupt, nobody gets paid. That's how bankruptcy works. It's geared towards bigger business.
There's another factor in this, too. Larger companies, they have a tendency to do stuff like what you just described, you know, booking out to larger people. Because if they suffer a loss, part of that loss is write-offable on taxes.
And it's a bigger write-off with one
entity. It's the same thing that the government does with deficit spending. It doesn't work. You can only pour so much water out of the pool. If you uncork the bottom of a pool, you can only let so much water drain out before there's no more water to drain out.
Deficit spending on a global level when nations are doing it is a lot different than what we're talking about. But I understand what you're saying. They can write off Books A Million with one line item.
They're willing to extend them lines of credit because, A, they know that if they have having their product in Books A Million...
It's bigger.
It's going to make them more money.
I can understand.
And they're going to get to charge interest.
Yeah, look, I can understand.
So Books A Million has some leverage.
Yeah, I can understand extending a line of credit, but a couple million dollars worth of credit, that's just
you're talking about a billion dollar business.
Yeah.
A couple of mil
isn't that much.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Not compared to what I think on that.
It's all comparable, though. If Diamond
it's a matter of perspective.
If Diamond's making a billion bucks, if you're making $100, you loaning me a dollar ain't shit. If they're making a billion, a million is a dollar to them.
Right.
It's still something.
It's still a lot of money.
Those of us
of us who've never had a billion
don't
know that a million's nothing.
The risk that they're taking holding that note from Books A Million is worth more to them than the million they're going to get back because it shows that they're going to have business for the next 6 months because they're going to supposedly going to get paid by Books A Million.
Here's another way
Mark doesn't have a line of credit because he can only pay every month.
There are a lot of companies such as Walmart, Target, Kmart that have high employee turnover ratio. You know why they do it? They encourage it.
Yeah.
Because it's a tax write-off.
Yeah.
And they can start people over starting wage.
You're more likely to get a credit card
and get rid of the top.
Not to mention,
you have plenty of money.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. That's
the way the lines of credits work for stores.
I think I said this last week. I'll say it again. It's capitalism, guys.
Yeah. And look,
you can hate it as much as everybody else, but it ain't going nowhere.
Look, the reason why I was going off like that is just because my mind is so geared towards efficiency and logistics.
It just does not logically make sense to me. On a debt system.
It's a bad way to run a small business.
Well, no, it's a bad way to run a big business, too.
Only the biggest ones. Google, Apple, only the Microsoft, only the biggest ones.
Apple actually has more money sitting in the bank.
I know.
They do not do a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
Most businesses have debt, though. What I'm saying is, just because it's done by most people doesn't make it a sound way.
Let me rephrase it. It's easier to get debt when you already have debt.
Yeah.
It's easier to borrow money. And if you can get easier access to cash, i.e. line of credit, your business is much more stable.
Well, it's the same thing with loans. If you get a loan, they don't want you to come back and pay it immediately.
Boom.
They want you to take the time to pay the interest because your interest is covering somebody else's ass.
Exactly. That's what I meant by that.
I understand.
Yeah.
Now, but when you go into you are taking a risk. You brought up a valid point. It's not a good way to run business.
Yeah, no.
It's not a sure way. Yes, it is very common practice.
And it's not... it's almost but impossible, it is all, though, in this environment, it's almost impossible to run your business without debt.
Well, let me put it this way.
No.
Donald Trump said it best.
It is unlikely.
You have to spend money to make money.
But it's not impossible.
Where do you get that first
damn
money?
Near impossible to have to run your business without debt.
But where's the line of spending money until you can no longer afford to spend money attempt to make money?
That's what bankruptcy's for. That's what bankruptcy's for.
Yeah, but if you run your business right, there's no need or reason why you should ever declare bankruptcy.
Businesses go away all the time.
Yeah, but Hannah's dad has done business.
Yeah. Kmart's been failing for years.
Yes.
But guess what? They've been running a business without debt. They own actual... They own stuff.
Exactly.
Sears bought Sears, not vice versa.
But they're buying their own stock.
Sears bought Kmart.
But they're buying their own stock to inflate their own prices.
Yeah, but look,
they're playing a different game, and that's still debt. Owning your own stock might as well be debt.
It's owning your own
stock. Her dad's job is closing down.
Not if you're a public company. If you're a public company and other people are owning your company, you're a lot more fluid, a lot more stable than if you own all of that, because there's risk is spread out. That's what I'm saying. They're absorbing their risk not by taking on more debt, but by buying more of their own stock.
Now look here,
to inflate their overall price.
I can understand y'all saying, you know, extending lines of credit if, you know, now look, if I owned Mark's comic book shop just as a theoretical construct, if I owned a shop and there was a guy every single month, he came in and bought $500 worth of comics, no questions asked, every single month, I'd be willing to extend him about $150, maybe $200 line of credit, but that would be about as far as I'd go, because I know he would come in every single month to buy $500 for the comics.
Yeah, but that one month that he doesn't come in and pay,
you're not understanding.
But I'm stuck with $200.
No, you're not. Lines of credit is a product. It's interest charged on that. Banks are making money off of that money. Unless you're charging that dude interest on his books, you're not gonna. That's a silly risk to take.
You're not making the money.
And it's stupid on him because he's going into debt buying comic books.
That's a lot of comics. Here's the perfect really analogy. Extending a line of credit is gambling.
Yeah, I know it is.
It's a high risk, high reward.
But they leverage their risk with interest rate. That's what interest rate is.
That's what makes the high reward.
Exactly.
Now, normally this is balanced out by companies being allowed to fail.
That doesn't happen anymore.
But since the government decides to subsidize, there is no risk.
Yeah.
So that's what caused the banking.
That's why we've seen 0% interest rates for the past 5 years. Yeah. Banks are loaning out money with 0% interest. They don't want to loan out that money. Because they're not going to make any money off of it.
The feds are setting the interest rate lower to try and let the banks have more money to loan out.
And they're not doing it.
Hey, we lost this gamble. We're not making it again. There's several banks that didn't make those high risk. And they were doing just fine. Yes. They didn't get bailouts.
Yeah, and the ones who were asking for bailouts, they should have been allowed to fail.
They're too big to fail.
The American people did not want those bailouts to happen, but
no,
they
it doesn't matter. People were ignorant to what would have happened if these banks went away. If these banks would have gone away, I understand what you're saying. Yes, it should have happened because our economy is set to stabilize itself. There would have been a 3,000-point drop in the Dow if they would have allowed that to happen.
And
we would have been in something
bigger.
That
would have been great for small business.
It would have been awesome for small business. Yeah. But so Walmart has ruined. What do you mean?
If it would have been great for small business, where's the gripe?
Small business doesn't own Washington.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know, but I would rather put money in small businesses, keeping in-town money in-town.
Don't go shopping on Black Friday.
Don't go to Walmart. Don't go to Target.
Small Business Saturday then.
Don't do that either. Shop as a small business anytime.
No, but I'm saying. All the people who go Black Friday shopping at these big places.
Yeah.
The very next day, is trying to encourage people to go to small businesses.
It is, and it's a good idea. Small businesses employ more people in America now than
it does. I only go to Black Friday because I like seeing people freak out.
I like seeing people freak out.
I got
you don't like
Black Friday.
You
don't like basically an action movie just
yeah,
in
I
itself.
Had deer
it's like
urine
just bring a lawn chair, some popcorn, and a Coke.
A business going public is essentially them asking for a line of credit.
Yes,
from the public.
And asking the public to please buy some of my business. So the risk isn't all on me. You are sharing in the risk, but you're also sharing in the reward.
Yeah. So there's only two reasons to go public for a business to go public. A, the owner wants to cash out.
Boom. That's what happens with most companies.
Yeah.
Tech companies.
Yeah. A lot of times the owner wants to cash out.
All right.
And retire. Or B, they want more money.
Yeah. All right.
That's what Facebook. That's why Facebook.
All right. Yeah. All right.
They wanted more.
I understand where y'all are coming from. Just as long as y'all understand why I'm saying what I'm saying.
You never know where this podcast is going to go, man.
All right.
If I would have hit record 20 minutes earlier, it would have been a total different.
Yeah.
I know, right?
All right. Now that we've talked about this for 20 minutes,
yeah,
let's talk about
actual
books.
Let's talk about geek stuff. Yeah.
All right.
Let's do introductions.
Oh,
yeah. We never even got around to that.
20 minutes too late on that.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. So, Larry.
Well, I'm the only one to introduce myself.
Yeah.
Then we just started.
That's why I pointed to him.
All right. We have
Adam.
Normal.
Yeah.
Superior Gomer.
Joshua. G squared.
G cubed. And Heather will be back.
She's running around
here
somewhere.
She's got a phone call.
She got sick of the talk.
Heather, we miss you.
She got sick of the talk about economics.
So why
she was raised in business. Her dad's job, literally, is to go close businesses. You know all the Kmart's are closed?
Yeah.
He closed all the ones in the Southeast.
Yeah.
He had like four or five of them he would go to and close at a time.
My old lady worked at the one in Hendersonville until the day it closed. Actually, she worked there after it closed. The guy who closed it down said, "Will you work in while we..."
That was probably my father-in-law.
Put all the stuff out. That's cool.
I had a buddy of mine. He got promoted to the closing manager of Media Play.
The week it was closed.
No,
right?
It was the last month. He's like, we're going to the general manager if you'll stay and work.
Yeah.
God, that way it'll be
play.
On your resume
about
and everything.
That storm
Media
forever.
Play was the last midnight play. Release yeah. party I went to for a book and a CD, believe it or not. Yeah, I used to listen to CDs. It was Metallica's Reload.
No, I'm asking, what is a CD?
Oh, what's a CD? Sonny, let me tell you. Back in the day, we had to use quarters when we wanted to make a phone call away from home.
That's not a very good man voice.
I'll tell you what a CD is. It's like a record that hipsters don't like.
Yeah, hipsters don't like.
All right, so comic news. I read Sex Criminals Volume 2, the trade paperback.
Yeah.
All right, now...
Matt Fraction.
Yeah,
and
Chips.
Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah, Zdarsky.
It's a book about a couple who gets powers when they have sex. It's like time stops.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they accidentally find each other. It's a cool volume one. I'm not up on volume two. I haven't
right.
Well,
that.
Here's the thing. It stops when they orgasm. It stops everybody but
them.
Other people like them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because there's the sex police, too, in this book. There's the sex cops.
All right. Now,
they're awesome.
Now, the book.
Sex cops.
The book.
That Fraction is so messed up, dude.
All right, first, the storylines are still pretty good.
Cool.
Paper quality is still great. So is the art. Can't complain about that.
Are they still doing that thing where the characters kind of break the fourth wall and talk to you?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
it's a really cool style to storytelling.
In certain sections of it, they actually got, like, one or too many people doing it.
It's not just him and her now?
Well, no, in the first volume, it was just them. Well, no, it is just him and her doing that. What I meant to say was... Like, when they're not talking to you and it's just going through the storyline, sometimes they've gotten, like, three or four, like, two new characters.
Yeah.
And those two new characters are talking with the two main characters, and, like, all the speech bubbles are kind of, like, differently colored instead of just being a speech bubble going to their mouth
or something
like that. So
because they're in that dream world.
Yeah. It's just regular
time.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, so it's, like, it's a four-person conversation. And it gets a little confused about who's saying what, you know, sometimes. So
you got to memorize which colors.
I really liked how they did that breaking the fourth wall thing.
Yeah.
It was a really good way.
It kind of reminds me of Saved by the Bell.
There's all kinds of shows that have done that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's all kinds of shows that have done that.
Saved by the Bell.
House of Cards does that now on Netflix.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really big about doing that. And actually, it's a Shakespearean device. They did it in King Lear. But anyway, I like how during those little moments when they break the fourth wall, they're talking about the story, but they're also sort of talking about their relationship and relationships in general. And I like how Matt Fraction throws that kind of stuff in there. And it's really good.
And there's some kind there's some kind of like little hidden Easter egg, like reference jokes by like some of the artwork or sometimes what they say, where they say it or you see it and it's just like, oh fuck. You know, you're just laughing on the inside.
Definitely a good book.
Yeah, but I do have one gripe with it.
Okay.
In certain sections of the second trade, there are parts of it, like they do backstory bits that aren't specific to the two main characters.
Oh, they're now, giving you intro, like background on other characters?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for the series unless they're bringing those characters in more fully.
Into
the third trade.
That's
so,
sort of suggesting that they're going to.
Now, had they just brought, like, if they were going to do that in the third trade, if they would have just put those kind of backstories, you know, into the third trade instead of putting them in the second, it would have been quite a bit better. But I still give it a good review. It's still a great book.
It's a cool series, man. Eisner winning, I think, for writing and art, right? For
both. Yeah. I don't know if it was both. But
yeah.
It was definitely writing. Yeah. Matt Fraction's racking them up, him and his old lady.
Now, I will say this, the way they ended
the indie stuff, I just don't like the superheroes.
The way they ended the second trade.
You're not reading Odyssey?
It left it at a pretty good cliffhanger because you're just like, oh crap, what's going to happen next? Because you know the hammer's fixing to fall.
I want to say Odyssey is bad, but I think I'm just too dumb to understand what's going on.
Or is it just too pretentious?
It might be pretentious, but Matt Fraction's pretentious.
Maybe I need to read it.
All right.
You need to watch Birdman. This is the most pretentious Hollywood movie I've ever
seen. I want
to
see that so bad.
It's so pretentious. Right. It's so full of itself.
But
had a great soundtrack.
Oh, it had an awesome soundtrack.
Bullshit that it wasn't allowed to be.
Yeah, like, because it wasn't original.
Yeah.
Yeah. The soundtrack actually, in this movie, and I don't know why we're talking about Birdman now. I was talking about it all morning. Birdman, the soundtrack seems like it's part of your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you want this soundtrack to go with you when you walk down the damn street.
That's good.
It's so good, man. Yeah. And it's all shot in like one shot. The movie.
The whole movie, yeah.
The whole movie.
Weird.
There's a few parts at the beginning where there's like a meteor falling from the sky, but after that, it's all one shot. I think you would really dig it, Larry, just for that.
Cinematography-wise.
So it's all done with camera.
Well, it looks like that, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just the way they if you look, because I knew it was all one shot before I watched it, so when I watched it, I looked for areas where they could cut away.
Yeah.
And there's like a section where Zach Galifianakis is walking down a hallway, and then he takes a quick right, and right there, you know that from how high the camera was on the dolly, they could just right there stop it and then clip it back together all fluid. And, yeah, it was cool that way.
Well, if it's one shot, it has to be done single camera.
Well, no, I don't think it's all one shot. They just made it appear to be one shot. Because I sent you a link on Facebook about this camera that they have now. It's like an HD camera, and it's one of the cameras they use to make Birdman. They had it on at some points that I read an article, they had it on strings and were just pulling the string down to make it look like the camera was, you know. Like Zach Galifianakis would be walking down some steps and the camera would like go off of the steps and follow him down like this. And there's just no way you can do that with going from a steady cam to to a string cam or even a boom cam the way they were doing it. I think you would dig it just for that reason. But it was a good movie, but not as good as everyone made it out to be, in my opinion. It seemed like Hollywood just, you know, jerking their own stuff.
That's what they do every year.
Hollywood jerks a lot of their
own
stuff.
And those are the movies that win Academy Awards. But
well, speaking of jerking it,
what'd
you think of
50 Shades of Grey?
Speaking of jerking
it, they put great fan awareness.
That was aimed right at me.
If we ever have a look back episode, that's going to be the greatest.
Seriously, I'm going home and cutting out Larry saying, speaking of jerking it.
Yeah.
And that's my new ringtone. Speaking of jerking it.
Yeah, the 100th episode just needs to be clips of the best all the best comedy moments.
Wow.
So, yes, speaking of jerking it.
Let's just say, I'm a huge fan of the series, and I know a lot of people have issues with it, and I don't even want to hear the bemoaners talking about, oh, it's abuse, blah, blah, blah. You know nothing about BDSM. You have no idea about that lifestyle.
They know nothing about those people.
I know the difference between abuse, and I know the difference with BDSM. It's nothing alike.
Ditto.
But
some people might like abuse. Who am I to say what people like?
Right.
Well, like, so
coming from a background of my first husband being abusive, and
not me.
Yeah, you know, I said my first husband. Hush.
You didn't let people know.
I'm husband number two.
Apparently, I had to.
Let people know I'm husband number two.
Clarification. He's awesome.
Anyway,
works on the phone.
As far as you know, having gone through that. I know the difference. There is a huge difference between abuse and BDSM. There are rules and guidelines and strict regulations with BDSM, and the proper people should follow it.
In the BDSM community actually say there's a big difference between BDSM and what you see in this movie.
Yeah. Exactly.
There was a huge difference because it was not portrayed correctly.
And
there's an issue with the whole movie in itself is that. The sex was shoved down your throat, excuse the pun.
From moment one, it was.
Okay.
From the very moment. Did you really have to choke it down?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, guys. You really had to deep throat.
I'm really interested in hearing what Heather has to say about this.
He says tongue in cheek. They left out about 75% of the story. They took out all the important
parts.
Of
the story or of
the book?
The actual story.
This was all about sex. Was the movie?
See, the movie wasn't even good.
About sex. The book.
Porn is so much better.
Yeah,
we're not talking about porn here, folks. Okay,
we're talking about female porn.
Honestly, it is not about sex at all. In fact, sex is a very
small relationships part of it. And emotions
it's really,
and
it's,
right.
It's about so childhood it's, abuse. It's about childhood sexual abuse. It's about learning to love yourself and appreciate who you are because he was taught to think that he wasn't worth it. And the whole trilogy really had an opportunity to speak out about childhood sexual abuse and all these things going on.
Yeah.
And they
and the
really
books
missed
did deal
the
with
serious
this?
Mark.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Very heavily in these books. Yes, it was by an author. This was her first attempt. Yes, the books are basic. Yes, the books are overly British in an American town. I get it, but I understand where she's coming from in trying to speak out about something that isn't common. Everyone hears about female sexual abuse and you know things going on with females, but very rarely is it ever touched on that a man experiences these things too.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
what and
it,
this
it,
is
it,
what
it
these
the
movies had a chance
well, it
to go for, and they missed the mark totally.
I think male child abuse is in the news, but you're right; it's not like dealt with.
It's not
in,
dealt
in
with
fiction
the same
or
as
things
it
things
is
like
with
that.
Female. Everyone, yeah. Everyone has all these things about protect females. Protect women, do this, do that, have words with people, let them know that abusing women is not right. Men go through it too. Maybe not as many men, but men go through it too.
Yeah.
And these movies miss the mark by 9,000 miles.
Huh.
Yeah.
And I'm over really 9, upset with
well,
all of that.
Sucks.
Yeah, it's like the guy who wrote the book American Psycho. People were giving him flack about that, and people were saying, well, you're an anti-feminist and da-da-da-da-da. He was like, I thought I wrote a feminist book.
Exactly.
I like the movie.
Men cannot write
like
from
when
a feminist
killing that
point of
guy
view.
Listen to hear
women
cannot the news.
Write from a men's point of view.
Now,
that's
when
just how
the
it is.
Right,
but
now,
I don't
now,
say
now,
that,
all right.
But that we have Strangers in Paradise, which
there
is
are
supposed
people
to be...
Terry Moore
is supposed to be like, what? I mean, I'm just saying there are exceptions.
There
of course.
There are, but very few.
There's the main buzz I've heard associated with this is the discussion about sex versus abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in the eye of the beholder.
Well,
one person's abuse
thing,
is another person's fun Saturday
BDSM.
Night, dude.
BDSM is consensual.
The
number one.
The
first
eye
and
of
foremost.
The beholder
and there
the beer holder.
Holder.
Yeah.
And,
the
there are, and there are boundaries to it.
There are boundaries. There are rules. There are limits.
Sunstone.
There are safe
just,
words. There are things. Shut up. There are things that are going on in BDSM that do not happen with abuse. In abuse, your control is stripped away. You have no friends. friends, no family. You have no husband. You have a prison guard watching over you 24/7, muffling your voice, holding you down, beating you up, giving you bruises, black and blue. There are things with abuse that are different than just physical abuse.
Exactly.
Well, I understand that. And also, I've been through that, but it's just there are definite boundary differences.
And there's also things that you would say maybe during intercourse that you definitely would not say in any other context.
Exactly.
In the heat of the moment, you know, things like that.
And I can honestly, I don't want to get into any specifics.
Not that my wife would ever listen to this, but I don't want anyone turning red when she comes into the store next time.
But look,
there are very few people who have ever gone to bed and had sex, honestly, that they haven't reached over and smacked their partner's butt.
Exactly.
That's BDSM.
Exactly. Yeah, but one person's
abuse. Did they call it abuse?
Did they call the law and say, my old man just beat me?
It is aggression.
It's the beginning of it.
Yes. Yeah, there's definitely an aspect of it.
There's a beginning to it. BDSM is so much... I think spanking is more...
I can't wait for this. Say it, Larry. Tell us.
Can I say something from a safety aspect?
Yes, of course.
There's no bondage involved in that, so you can't have the full...
You can't necessarily say that.
No, okay.
Dude, all right. I don't even...
Someone on the ass.
It's the beginning.
No, I'm not saying it is.
So, Larry, is holding down hands during considered BDSM? Just with your own hands? It's the same sort of thing as...
Bondage.
Yeah, it's bondage just without the rope or the scars or anything.
That's what I mean, that fine line that you're drawing, everybody has that line.
This is the best podcast ever.
No. All right, guys,
I honestly, me personally, I wouldn't consider it bondage until there are other things involved.
Okay,
it's not considered bondage.
I'm not
trying. If I pull out the silk ropes, it's considered bondage.
All right,
that's the difference, your point. In my opinion.
Yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
I'm not trying to say a point of view. What I'm trying to say is from a safety aspect, there are people there are people who have been reported as trying to use these books as a way to experiment with BDSM, and they wind up getting hurt. There is a book by a man called Jay Wiseman. It's called SM 101, A Beginner's Guide to S&M or BDSM.
Yeah.
That is a book that people should use if they want to explore this lifestyle. People are hurting themselves. Because they don't know where the limits are. That's how you find the limit, right?
No. How it hurts.
Every person has their own limit, though.
Let me say this. This is a book that is a good thing for people to start with if they're wanting to dip their toe in, because it explains how to do it safely and without harming the other person.
I've never tried that.
Guys are crazy.
The reason why I'm saying this is because if people are using...
That's like junior high school.
Dude, oh, I understand.
People should be safe having sex anytime. I dropped my old lady off of a dryer one time.
Oh, Lord.
It was bad. I dropped my old lady off of a dryer one time. People need to be safe no matter what they're doing. The thing about it is, if you're bringing in ropes and whips and chains...
Your
level of safety needs to be
increased
just as much.
That's why I'm saying this book is a good thing, because it shows you how to progress into it safely and with equal leveling with each person.
It's not a taboo. You can't just go up to hey, I know this is our first time, but do you want to break out the paddle? Do you want to break out the ropes?
There are relationships that start that
Sunstone.
Way.
Sunstone. Yeah. Everybody should read Sunstone. It's by Steven Sedgwick. It's all about this. It's a comic book. It's all about this.
And I haven't read it yet.
It's really more about the relationships, but BDSM is an integral part of it. And it's very sweet, their inclusion of BDSM, and helps their relationship And yeah.
And that's all I'm trying to get across is be safe, equal footing with each person,
right,
and not using the 50 Shades of Grey books
and maybe right,
as a way
on
to introduce themselves into it, because people, you know, like, oh, if they don't know what they're doing, they can really hurt someone.
Yes. Exactly.
Once they get, you know, a little moisture on it.
You got to be really careful and talking with somebody, because everybody has different pain
college
tolerance.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just to give you that
very high pain tolerance.
That futon can't take as much abuse as you think.
Yeah. And besides, yeah. All right. Oh right, my what goodness. Was
shit, we were talking about?
No, I lost my train of thought. I was gonna say, oh, all right. Basically, that SM101 book by Jay Weissman.
Oh, yeah.
It is basically. All right, you know how, like, when I was talking about people that are wanting to work on their own bikes, they need to get the service manual to be able to properly take apart something
that
and put it back together without, you know, exploding on you. The S&M 101 book is good for, you know.
With that said, a Haynes manual for a Honda Civic is good for every Honda Civic.
Yeah, basically.
The S&M 101, and your mileage may vary.
You gotta explore whether they're gonna get mad if you explode all over them or not. I mean, I'm just saying.
You gotta ask.
Don't pull a Houdini on the
communication.
Anyway,
communication is the key.
To the movie.
You know, give them a warning. Give them a warning. I'm about to stick something somewhere.
All right.
Just so FYI.
I'm not to segue.
Down a little bit.
I'm about to segue again because we're moving from one movie to another genre. This week we lost somebody very important to the movie world. Leonard Nimoy.
Talk about that. Man, what a total reversal of emotions.
Exactly.
Like, just all laughing and stuff, and then we're just like,
exactly. Oh, I mean, but gone. This was something that was like really, you know, hard on me this week because I grew up in this world. I grew up in sci-fi. You know, I went to my first con when I was 8 years old. And it really, I was just devastated by losing Leonard this way, because he is a profound artist in my life.
How did he die? I know he died.
COPD. He smoked like for 30 years.
Yeah, basically heart failure is what it came
to. This is the third person she's woken me up to saying they died.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it's
she woke me up when
Shirley Temple.
Well, they make it the fourth then, because she woke me up when Michael Jackson passed.
Yeah.
And she woke me
up. No. We were playing Rummy when Michael
passed. The worst one for me was when the Crocodile Hunter.
That was the worst.
She woke me up to that one.
I thought that was funny.
Well, the thing about Leonard Nimoy is he was an icon, a cultural science fiction icon. But he also became more than just the geeks.
Yeah.
Right.
People who are scientists, the real geeks, getting shit done geeks.
Yeah.
They looked up to Spock because Star Trek was such a science-y show, but he was also the logical mind on there, and that's what you need for science.
Yeah.
Without Spock, we may not have Bill Nye or Neil deGrasse Tyson. We may not have these people.
Right.
And that just shows just how important he was. And it wasn't just Trek. This dude was on Fringe.
Yeah.
The voice of Galvatron on the freaking Transformers the movie.
He had a spoken word Paris album.
He was on Big Bang Theory.
He had the tale of Bilbo Baggins. He did that.
Like back
in
the 70s.
You know, he had his book, The Full Body Project.
Yes.
His Full Body Project focused on women of larger sizes that were dressed attractively, but yet scandalously at the same time. We're not talking about Monica Lewinsky.
No, that was his name and his binder full of women, wasn't it?
Mitt Romney.
His binder full of
he focused larger women in a good light and made us look and feel wonderful. He had a massive. Hard on for larger women. He enjoyed the larger frame.
He had a full body of work.
Yeah.
He did it
exactly.
all.
Very
full body.
He
did it all.
And a lot of times you see, he was such a skinny guy. Mm-hmm. That's your classic State Fair couple there.
Let's just say it how it needs to be said. Leonard Nimoy, God rest him, he is probably one of the last icon god kings of the sci-fi world.
Yeah.
Those Trek people, Hamill, when he passes, there will be
a massive vigil.
But yeah, you're right. He is one of the last.
That exposure. You know, media.
Back in the 60s, there wasn't anything else. And then when Star Trek hit in the 80s at the height of the space race, it was just, you know, synergy, and it just went into this other place, dude.
You know, definitely had a good sense of humor.
Definitely. Even though I had a very dry voice.
He's still a Vulcan.
Anybody two books. One, I'm not a Vulcan.
Yeah.
Followed by the book, I am a Vulcan.
Yeah. Well, in I Am a Vulcan, he kind of shit all over the fan base a little bit. At least that's the way it was taken. So he wanted to, you know, say, I love my fans. It's just sometimes it's hard to have fans for just... My fans, see, Star Trek fans are really fanatic.
He said something that nobody else was willing to say. There are lots of rock stars out there, movie stars, and artists that are out there that have these amazing followings, but it's the fans that kind of stifle them at times.
Yes.
And he was willing to say what really needed to be said.
Shatner went on Saturday Night Live and told people to get a life.
He did.
So,
Shatner's kind of a dick. Shatner's kind of a dick, and everyone that works with him has said that.
And when Shatner speaks, it almost seems like everything he's saying is he's
condescending.
He's putting on an act. It does seem condescending, but it seems like it's an act. Like, I'm Bill Shatner, I'm Captain, whatever, I'm supposed to be the shit, I'm the shit. Fuck.
Yeah.
Even that show we had where he would sit and just talk with somebody. That little thing. He was an asshole to those
Shatner's
guys.
The voice or something raw.
I thought it was a chair.
One of my friends met Shatner at the con last year, and
sit down and chat.
Even the other people from the shows, different shows, came up to him as if he was in charge.
Yeah.
So they treat him like he's
in
charge of
it. I think it's because they're afraid because he'll leave.
Brent Spiner came in and was talking to William Shatner, almost as if he's talking to his captain. And I'm like...
And Brent Spiner is such a better actor than Captain Kirk ever was.
Hands down.
T.J. Hooker is not a terrible show, but...
It's a terrible show.
It's a terrible show.
It's bad when you have to watch a cop show absolutely high to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. But I wrote my first blog this week on that.
On OutrightGeekery.com. You guys should check it out.
I did. And I went back last night and I realized how upset I was when I went back and saw all the typos and the misworded things.
Typos add a little bit of
personality.
Personal especially to that sort of art.
I was literally crying as I wrote it. So.
One thing I was going to point out, if anybody hasn't seen it, Leonard Nimoy did a music video for Bruno Mars.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think I heard
Lazy
about that.
Day. It is effing hilarious.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And amazingly less racist than the actual video. definitely watch that. The Leonard Nimoy.
Bruno Mars. I think Bruno Mars is a hobbit.
He is. I like his voice though. But I will tell you, probably the funniest commercial I've ever seen in my life was Spock versus Spock. I will have to say honestly, if you haven't seen that commercial, look it up. You know, with them on a golfing trip.
Yes.
I died watching that video. It was hilarious. But
it was sad, but. This weekend, I did nothing but watch Trek.
Yeah.
You know, so he lives on, man. He lives on, man.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, you know, we have been and always will be his fans.
Yeah.
I just want to say that recently, before he died, we watched Wrath of Khan, and I told Dad, it's a good thing we watched it recently, because I don't think I could watch it for a long time.
We didn't want to. After was like, we can't watch it.
Yeah, I watched Search for Spock just last night.
We were like, really? I just couldn't watch anything with him in it.
Yeah, I can't watch him die twice.
Right.
And there's no coming back from the
cool.
It's so
terrible.
All right, let's get to a lighter subject.
All right, Cyber, CSI Cyber is a new show coming out in the CSI line.
I heard it was terrible.
No, it hadn't come out, but some hackers hacked into CBS's server, stole it, and put it on the internet. Say, screw you, Cyber.
That is awesome.
I really like that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Really, you know, if I was... CBS, I would have did that and claimed that's what happened.
That might have been what happened, but nobody's going to watch this.
You gotta
anyway.
Love
Patricia
the
Arquette's
well, I mean,
awesome,
it just,
but
it, with
no.
it being CBS Cyber and they were hacked, I mean, that was just epic. And
that's just irony.
That could be, that could be a convenient form
like
of advertising.
Well, that will be their next episode, right?
Yeah,
TV show gets hacked.
I don't like
shit
Patricia
stolen.
Arquette.
Exactly.
I won't watch it.
She's
like
got an amazing voice.
I don't like her.
Yeah. I like
she pissed me off when she didn't make Nightmare on Elm Street 4. I won't watch anything with her
anymore.
Oh, my
God. Get over it. It's years ago.
I'm mad.
That happened back in the 80s. Let it go.
Welcome to primetime.
Wait.
She refused to make it.
It really wasn't on her, though.
It was on her.
She refused to do it. Sequel to the Dream Warriors.
Yes.
I love Nightmare on Elm Street.
I love Nightmare on Elm Street. So good, man.
Dream Warriors.
So good. I want to make a point on this conversation.
Oh, God.
I live with this man. I've been married to him for 13 years.
You chose
You see how long he holds a grudge?
I hold grudges.
Imagine what happens when I do something.
I love Dream Warriors.
I've been talking about
the music. And here's the thing.
The needles with the drug dealer.
She chose not to be in the next movie.
Dream Warriors had a sick
because she video too. Because she got big, so she decided not to be in it.
And then Freddy's all like, it was a nightmare. I was like, that was the best.
Larry's just leaning back in his chair.
I bought the tape for Dawkins just for that one song.
All
right, that was by far the cheesiest one.
No, this no. number two, number two,
number two. Yes. No, everyone from number the nightmare. Horrible. No, everyone
the,
from the nightmare
the
on Elm Street.
Homosexual.
Yeah, accidentally homosexual. They don't even say that movie happened when they play a Nightmare on Elm Street. Marathon, they skip that one.
That's the only even one that all the, has.
Hey, even all the alumni from the Nightmare on Elm Street movies that are still alive, even they say the second one was the worst one.
Yeah, exactly. Freddie loves
even the guy
Englund
that even
it,
the guy that was in
Robert
it.
Englund.
Even the guy that was in it said it was overtly homosexual.
Yeah, because
well, he said he didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah,
he
didn't. Well, and here's the thing. He didn't realize it. Yeah,
I don't once, know how you have yeah. you ever seen Nightmare on Elm Street 2? Go home and watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, all right, look.
I watched them all, but I watched them all as a kid.
Yeah, no, I still watch them.
With the homosexual
yeah,
thing.
But look,
it's so weird.
Yeah,
dude.
Look, at one point in the second movie, one of the characters, he's down in his underwear, and behind him there's a rack, and there's like board games on it, and one of the board games says probe.
Yeah. There's a shower scene.
Not only that, he goes to a gay club where everybody's dressed up in leather.
And he goes to a friend's house and he goes, I think something's trying to come out of me. Can I stay at your house? And he goes, you want to sleep with me?
Yeah.
It's weird.
There's so many innuendos that it's like an episode of He-Man.
The coach?
Honestly, it is that
it's weird. It's almost, how did they accidentally make a movie this gay?
They didn't accidentally make it. The guy who wrote it said, I've watched all the little stuff about it. The guy who wrote it, he made it.
Well, there's like a 4-hour documentary.
We watched it.
It was
a very good documentary.
So good.
Hey, look, you know it's bad when the homosexual community goes, we are not involved with this movie at all.
But you're watching a 4-hour art documentary about the movie?
No, it was about all the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Really good documentary, though.
The documentary is about all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
It just so happens when it's that part of the documentary.
Right, can I talk about some other comic
and the guys
yes,
talking
about definitely.
All right.
Let's talk about
have
some more comics.
Is there any genre of people we have not offended?
No, everyone.
No, I think we
haven't talked about Star Wars yet. Those are people you can completely offend.
All right.
Because they get offended at everything.
Go ahead, dude.
All right,
JoJo comics.
All right, so comics. I binged read the first and second trade paperbacks of Zombie Tramp.
I'm not a fan.
Well,
it's the new one, right? They're the ones that have recently come out. I think 2014 it came out. Because Zombie Tramp's a pretty old character.
Well, it's new for me because I haven't really read.
Ongoing series. That's
okay, new. It's the new ongoing series.
Yeah, there was a series of miniseries that came
back
out.
There was like three books in the first one. There was four books on this second trade paperback. So I decided to binge read both of them at the same time. And I like the artwork. Paper quality's good. Storyline's good. I like the black and white. It kind of, it's a little caricatured, but it works. And the few colors that they used was, red, blue, and yellow.
Yeah.
And in the second one, they bring in orange.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, that's so cool. I really like it. No, I'm looking forward to the third one, when it's going into full color.
Well, Zombie Tramp's kind of a throwback to, like, the exploitation comics of the 70s
and
80s.
And that's why I like it.
But I think
it's
sort of, this new run is sort of taking a pro-feminism taking its exploitation back.
It totally is.
It's the same kind of thing that Bitch Planet is doing over at Image.
Bitch Planet's really good.
Yeah, so there's definitely a market for that book.
Say that.
I need these comics
the
just for their name.
Sales on that thing have tanked to like 20%.
Really?
Can I have a t-shirt? But,
Image number one's always so good. It's hard for me to believe that book is tanking as big as it
but
is.
The first,
it's a good book.
But the first two...
It's really good.
So... Sold out issue one.
Easily, I guarantee it.
Sold
yes.
like three of the last issue.
Well, look, the first...
Issue three had a different artist. That might have something to do with it, but they shouldn't. It's yeah, an amazingly sold, like, good
six,
story.
Six or seven of the issue two.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, look, so the first...
We sold less than 50%
yeah,
of what we sold number one on yeah. issue two. And we sold less than 50% of what we sold on number two for number three.
All right, well, look, the first two trades that I read...
Of the tramps.
Yeah, zombie tramp. Like, the front covers of them...
Yeah.
They weren't, you know, rough and, you know...
What do you mean?
Well, they...
Like embossed?
Yeah, they were... Yeah, but they were just nice and slick, and the art quality was really great. The coloring yeah. was great. The shadowing was great. I mean, it was really nice, and I liked the way they did it, because basically they took the first cover on the first trade paperback... From yeah. the first comic, and like zoomed in on a certain section of it, and they did the same thing with for the second one. Oh, okay. It's awesome.
So what's it about? It's just
it's about a girl who went through lots of hazing and
bullying.
Yeah, and bullying and sexual abuse, like when she was younger,
she becomes a zombie.
No, and then she wound up working as a escort.
Oh, nice.
And
okay.
one and her boss, who she thought was her friend, gets hemmed up in jail, and so she does this.
Pimping ain't easy.
In order to get her,
it's hard out there for a pimp.
So to get her boss out of jail, she goes and does this job that's actually for a cop. And when she gets over there, she doesn't know that this cop's son is a zombie in the basement, and she gets bit by accident trying to get away from it, and then she becomes a zombie.
So the escort was for the zombie?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
To be eaten.
Yeah, weird.
And then she goes through this
the transformation.
Yeah, the transformation. Okay, yeah. But at the same time, this like the zombie queen.
But the pimp don't care.
You yeah, gotta get the money.
Yeah.
Get his money.
Well, here's the thing, though. So there's, like, at the same time, there is a zombie queen who is on a prison bus, and she escapes. And she kind of brings the character, Janie Bell, that's the zombie tramp, under her wing and kind of teaches her how to survive.
Oh, weird.
And, you know, teaches her how to regain her voice.
So these are, like, smart vampire-type zombies.
Yeah.
Was the zombie in the basement a smart zombie?
No, he was dumb.
See, that's weird.
Some smart and some not?
Did they explain that?
Kind of, but not really. But it works. It works for me, and I like it.
Does it make you want to get a Dr. Pepper?
And well, here's the thing. At one point,
I'm sure that's what everybody thought.
At one point, she's walking down the road, and this really nice guy picks her up. Doesn't try to flirt with her. Doesn't try to hit on her. Doesn't try to have sex with her.
Okay,
or anything, gives her a ride to where she wants to go, and. You know, and at the, you know, while this is going on, he's kind of, you know, telling her, you know, his life sucks and he doesn't really have anyone and he hasn't been able to do all the things he wants to do. And, you know, and like as she's, you know, as she gets out and she's about ready to leave, you know, she doesn't even thank him for the ride. And, he says that to her, and then he starts feeling sad for himself again. And so she goes back to his van and gives him just a really awesome kiss, but bites his lip.
Oh, the zombie.
At the part of it, and he goes...
She's a zombie.
Yeah, no, she's still a zombie, but she's found a way to glamour herself to make her look human.
Oh, no.
It's really nice from the story aspect, because she tells him, call into work, take the day off, and live this day like it's your last day.
Because it is.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be a zombie.
She doesn't tell him.
By tomorrow, you're going to be a zombie.
That's pretty mean.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
She does it as a way to say thank you, and kind of like as a gift to him, to make him live and do all the stuff he's always wanted to do.
Here's the thing.
So, let's talk about other zombies.
iZombie?
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
Oh, not iZombies coming
out? It's not out
yet.
Who cares about iZombies?
I can't wait to say it. It looks funny.
That looks
funny.
Hilarious. It does look funny.
Yeah. So,
my favorite
the survivors are now the villains. That I noticed from that last night's episode
Or Sunday. Right. Sunday's episode.
Sunday's episode.
Yeah.
It's still last night.
I watched it last night.
I did too.
Comcast always does wonders.
if I were to shave that kind of beard off, people would have said something. You know?
Oh, yeah.
No, somebody would have said something. Yeah,
oh, we said something, definitely.
Yeah, people in the town said
something. The kid would have said something. Yeah, Carl would have said something.
Now, Michonne said something.
Everyone
said something.
And Carl and him had a knowing glance, a meaningful glance.
Yeah.
I
got more facial hair than you now.
Look, not for nothing, but Rick lost 20 years by shaving his beard off and getting that haircut.
Absolutely.
He looked 20 years
old. Rick's beard was easily the most dramatic death in all five seasons.
But
I was horrified. It's like, who the hell's that guy?
Oh, my God.
It was better than the chain shaving.
I was kind of upset to see is they changed Douglas to a white chick.
Like the congresswoman.
Yeah.
We needed more females.
Well, I'm not. I get that.
Especially as bad guys.
I'm not really mad about that.
Not bad guys, but as non-survivors.
But I really did like the Douglas character in the book.
We needed more females that weren't survivors.
Really, I guess, you just can't have,
And she's a strong character.
Sure.
She seemed okay.
But I guess AMC just didn't want,
They didn't want. They wanted more males.
Southern.
No, I got a headache.
I'm sorry, man.
Then you're in the wrong podcast.
No, you're just talking too goddamn loud.
Aww. We talk loud.
Here's the thing. Don't change characters all the time.
I don't think they're doing it all the time. Most of the characters, a lot of people are doing it now.
Well, like, now is the change the characters. Being identical, they're trying to go to being identical to the comics,
Well,
I don't want a comic. I don't want the comic on the screen. I want something that is, I guess, based on the comic, so it's okay that they're pulling here and there, but I do want something new and different.
But they're trying to copy whole panels and
stuff.
Last episode, there was two or three issues where you could go to and point scenes out.
And I think that, like I said before, I haven't read the comics up to that point, but I think they did need kind of a female township leader.
Definitely.
Because after the governor, you can't have another male.
Yeah, you can't have another guy.
You know why
they're taking it straight from the comics? Because they don't have to write anything new at the moment.
But they have the Lady of Terminus.
Well, they are writing
new
stuff.
Yeah, they did have the Lady of Terminus.
You take stuff from comics, they literally have to write that now.
Douglas said, I have a job for you and Andrea, and I just haven't figured out what to do with you, Daryl.
Mr. Dixon,
Mr. Dixon. And what I heard was, we can't figure out where to work you into the comic book yet. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right, can we talk?
You weren't in the comic, Daryl, so we're not sure what job
you're
doing.
We don't know what you're doing yet, so we're going to let you not take a shower and sit out there and cut up a possum on the stairs.
They have a kitchen, but he sits out on the front porch and guts a possum.
Have relatives who would do that.
You know what? You don't want to gut it in the kitchen.
You don't
want to
gut it in the kitchen.
Right.
I have relatives who would do that.
Honestly, it is kind of rude to do it on the front porch.
It's his house.
With blood going everywhere.
He should have got out of the bushes.
He should have got out of the yard.
Honestly, I think he did it to make a point.
Yeah, but
he was almost on there saying, I know how to use a knife. I know how to kill.
It was almost like him shitting on the house.
I think what he was saying is, you know what? We don't need your shit. Look, I got dinner right here.
And you know what?
That was shitting on the house.
When he walked in the gate, what was the first thing he said? We brought dinner.
Yeah.
And that was the messed up part is he got that like right before the gate opened.
Damn.
Yeah.
We brought dinner.
But you know what would have driven the point home about the possum on the front porch? Who would have just taken his gutting knife and just stabbed it into the wood and just let it sit there?
Yeah.
I was expecting him to do that.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It may dull a good knife, but how many people are there that you can kill and take their knife from them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the episode was Carol. All playing, underdog. Oh,
super
little
ninja.
Little old me.
She was being a super ninja.
I miss my husband.
I love it.
My husband was such a great guy. It's like, bitch,
As soon as she was doing that, I turned and looked at him like, what?
Yeah. She's easily my favorite character. They could change the name of the show to Carol in The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
I'd still watch.
Yeah, probably.
She's my favorite.
You could kill Rick now.
Everybody else.
Carol live.
Everybody.
She became like Carol Brady.
I want her. I'll be happy if Daryl dies, she puts on the vest and gets on the Harley.
It would,
absolutely.
Hey,
Actually, badass bitch right there. I got that one.
That would be cool. So actually, you need to rephrase that because it's not a Harley, it's a Triumph.
Oh, whatever. Damn it, Josh.
I'm a motorcycle nerd.
I know.
Hey, they can go find another one. Yeah. There's a lot of dead people, and there's a lot of motorcycles out there.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
But if you're trying to keep the Walking Carol. Dead away from you, you do not need to be riding a loud bike.
Oh, I've
you need to get a scooter.
That. Yeah, I've always said that.
How many have been on a motorcycle?
You're riding through town, and there's a lot of dead people around you, and you're trying to go through. You're moving through on those bikes. It's a lot more nimble in some respects, but
yeah, but it's
a
super
big
If you watch any zombie movie, you always have a big bus that you put all kinds of stuff on the sides of.
Yeah,
that's how you get through. Not a motorcycle. They can just grab you and pull you off.
But you got to make sure you have armor comics. On the tires, like with chains or something.
Yeah, right.
All right. But by the way, can we please talk about the kid that Glenn punched in the nose for getting in his face? And talk about that whole zombie on
Thank
a chain
you for
on a tree.
Him in
place. Well, can we please talk about that?
Because that is direct from out of the comic.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is the survivors who we've known have lived out there and they know what to do, and they're playing games with life and death. These guys in Alexandria have no idea what it's really like living out there.
It's just like the same people that were at the governor's place. They're sitting there having zombie fights in the backyard.
Well, and they're doing it for fun. And there's nothing fun about these zombies. And it's kind of disrespectful. I still go back to Homegirl naming the damn zombies.
There's some kind of fun.
There's still that sort of sense to the show.
Yeah, because if I was actually in that world, as soon as that girl started naming zombies, I'd be like, no, little girl, you got to die. Because you're the fucker that gets everyone killed.
Chain them up and take them playing video games.
No, that is not going to get them killed. It's the people like Rick who's like, I'm not going to make the decision.
No.
That's not people that gets people killed.
No, there's only...
Like,
no.
Do we need to leave today or leave tomorrow?
No.
You leave tomorrow, there's 100 zombies coming at you. You leave right now, there's nothing.
Yeah.
That's the person that gets you killed.
Yeah, but the person that really gets people killed is the one dumb fuck that starts doing stuff that makes no sense.
The 12-year-old girl.
She's a kid.
She's feeding zombies rats and trying to give them names and trying to sit there and play keep away from them.
How many adults are there? How many adults?
Yeah,
and
her complex. Yeah, and what happened? She killed her sister.
After saving Judith,
two adults that were with her decided they were going to go off and have their own little moment.
Exactly.
If one of them would have stayed there, that kid wouldn't have died.
I say we chain them up and teach them.
She already knew there was something wrong with that girl.
Yeah, they always knew that something was wrong with her.
She already knew there was something wrong with that girl, and she still left her
there. Put them on game shows.
Carol, yes. Knew something was wrong with that girl.
She was worried about Tyrese shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, if I would have been there, I would have just...
See, you want the bad guy.
You know what? You're a bad guy.
You
are the weakest link.
You would be a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care.
You would be a bad guy.
But that's true.
But I agree with
it. That's why it's called survival of the fittest.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
I look at a group, when I look at a group, the person that doesn't
bring their own
weight...
That's not society. We're just going to live like that. We're no better than the zombies.
That's society.
Survival of the fittest. No.
Not today. Not today.
This is teaching... What do adults do back in the day to teach kids a lesson?
Survival of the fittest.
You want to put a penny in a life sock and try that out. No. Hard like hell. Don't do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, just be like, oh,
that's
kid,
the main
you want to go
theme?
Play with a zombie? Go play with him. See what happens.
That's the main theme of the show, is that we don't lose our humanity. That's the overarching theme of the entire series.
But that is
part of
it. What? Letting somebody die out of ignorance?
Dude,
not. How many, we do that today.
How many
videos do people watch on YouTube of somebody doing something and you're like, okay, this
person's
going to die.
Ridiculousness. Tosh.0.
But they're bad.
Web soup.
But, I've
there's
already lost it because I'm out there
redemption.
Like, hey.
But there is not a parent or a guardian of a child saying, you're an idiot for liking zombies, let me throw you to the zombies.
Hold up.
Not a kid.
That's what you said, John.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
not
I'm
a
just
kid.
Making sure that
like
we're
I
not
said,
getting
that's
twisted.
Why there should have been adults watching her.
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. But Josh was kind of suggesting, I think, that this 12-year-old girl's stupid. We should just let her...
Exactly.
That's,
no.
That's
here's
wrong.
The problem. Here's the
no.
problem.
No.
So wrong.
No,
here's
that's intelligent because
no.
I had the same gripe that there are too many stupid people in
this
world
show.
And they do not need to be having kids.
She's the first thing
she
said
stupid.
Was,
that's
she's
like
12.
Exactly.
She's not stupid.
That's like saying,
she's
oh, my hair.
That is not an excuse.
She is
no,
mostly unstable.
My niece is 10 or 11 and she is smart as a whip.
Not every 10-year-old is
unstable.
But not every time.
in the zombie apocalypse, wow. I'm tripping you. Simple
as that. Yeah. I don't have to outrun the zombies. Wow. I just have to outrun them.
Josh, if you're getting tripped first, I must be the second one.
But I have not every 10-year-old person is different.
Well,
is
no,
the
I
same.
Think I have a saving grace at this table. I am the only female. So
yeah, and I'm not every 10-year-old child.
And I make sure she survives.
Like the Star Trek thing.
I make sure she survives.
I have a vagina. Point.
Your 8-year-old kid, you might say, yeah, cross the street after you've taught him to look both ways.
Exactly.
You're not going to say, oh, this 8-year-old kid, but survival of the fittest, get out there in traffic.
But what you're completely missing is the fact that that girl was mentally unstable.
She was mentally
unstable. She was mentally unstable before the apocalypse.
Off a boat.
That was something that...
That's not right, though.
I worked
though.
With people
you
who had mental problems.
I'm not
saying I brought that up from day one. What happens with people who have mental problems? And that's what that girl had. She had mental instability.
She
could not tell the difference between you being alive and a zombie moving
and
not being alive.
What do we do with special needs children today? We don't throw them to the wolves because society's going to be better without that pulling on us.
They used to.
That's society, dude.
I done told him that in a zombie apocalypse, I chop off his legs, strap him to my back,
Chewbacca,
and he's shooting people.
Chewbacca
C-3PO. Exactly.
That's a great idea, guys. I'm hanging out with y'all.
I have nothing,
we will make Star Wars references till we die.
Guys, look, I have nothing wrong with what you just said. Up. I think that's... Well, one, I think that's intelligent, and it's a good tactical move.
All right. Yeah!
Two.
Yeah!
Two.
Tactically.
Four. Tactically, it's smart. All right. Now, two, I understand what you're saying about mentally... ill people. Now, look, I think mentally ill people should be helped, but when it comes to the zombie apocalypse, if you're actually in that universe and that's actually going on, there is no room for error in that universe, period.
Yeah, but you're going to just say, well, because somebody's off, you're going to let them die?
No, but he's saying if the shit gets too thin or too thick, you better watch your back because he's going to put a knife in.
Yeah, but a good to those people will be.
We are out of time, people. Final thoughts. 30 seconds, 60 seconds.
Man. He's a douche. He's going to kill Tommy.
He's going to kill everybody.
Hey, what do you think? I see you're reading the non-Harry J.K. Rowling.
I am not reading that. That's a return from my wife's library.
What'd she think of it?
She really liked it. Sunday, I watched.
Count.
Yeah, exactly. Final Saturday, thought. I watched Big Hero 6.
Goodness.
Oh, man. Yes, that is awesome.
The last, the last 60 seconds or less.
All right.
I got the or less, I guess.
All right. They are now genetically re-engineering the measles virus, HIV, and the common cold virus to inject it into tumors, into cancer tumors, and actually kill them and cure
cancer.
I've
seen too many scary movies to start that way.
That's what I was trying
Star
to
Star Wars Rebels, spoiler alert, Ahsoka Tano's back.
So good.
I was so happy.
Same thing he said. Star Wars.
Final thought.
Don't see 50 Shades of Grey. Don't waste your time.
Wait on the DVD.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't even wait on the DVD.
Watch
internet porn.
Camp on the snow.
Good night. See you next time.
Bye. Oh, that was the most fun we've had.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. That was so fun.
It was awesome.